You're listening to the Drummers Education Connection Podcast. Interviews with the greatest drummers in the business and roundtable discussions with industry leaders and teachers from around the globe to help provide performance, insight, and inspiration.
Now we're live. The king of the 16th note subdivision, Rick Stojack, wearing his, I thought it was a Spider-Man shirt. I really did. I thought it was a Spider-Man shirt. But it's a how cool would a Hawaiian Spider-Man shirt be?
That would be cool.
Wow, that's a great idea.
I would wear that. I would wear that. Everybody, welcome to Drummers Education Connection. We are here for your drumming needs and your fashion talk of Spider-Man Hawaiian shirts. I hope everybody is having a great day. We have our friend Fred Rock Fisher back today, and we're going to be talking about overcoming setbacks. But before we do that, here on Drummers Education Connection, we're going to do what we always do. We want to bring it in with some good stuff, and we also want to remind you that if you want to support DEC, Drummers Education Connection, you can do so through Patreon, and you can go there and you can give whatever you want to give us. Goes right into, even if it's a buck, it goes right into keeping the lights on, meaning the website and you know, all the stuff that we do to keep this entity going. That's what the Patreon does for us. And then we're going to start the show like we normally do, and that is with a section that we call Good Things. Good Things is just a little thing that we talk about, good things that are going on in our lives, either you know, outside of drumming or in drumming or whatever. And I'm going to be an advocate for our friend Jeremy Steinkohler, who is not here today. They're taking their son Evan to college. So I'm going to say that's a good thing for our buddy Jeremy, who's not here. Evan's knocking it out of the park. And then I'm going to throw it down to San Diego to Rick Stojack. Rick, what's going on with you, buddy? What's going on that's good with you?
Well, I'm super excited to announce that I am hosting Zorro the Drummer here at my studio on Saturday, October 5th for two-hour master classes. And I've got room for 10 people, so these tickets are going to go real, real, real fast. And we're going to do a technique workshop, and then we're going to do a hand, foot, and timing technique kind of thing, and then a whole essential grooves, which will have a lot of funk and soul and a lot of shuffles and all of that. So I'm so honored to have Zorro back. He's my great friend, my dear friend, my mentor, and I learned so much from him. I studied so much with Zorro, and I'm just so excited to host him back here again. It's been well over 10 years since I've hosted him. And so, and then he's going to be on the DEC show next Tuesday morning.
Yes, sir.
What is that? The 24th. So the 24th, nice. Zorro live here on deck.
Woohoo! So how would one go about getting tickets for this?
Call me, you can email me, or you can hit me up on social media. And then I'm accepting Zelle and Venmo advanced tickets only. And it's just $60 for the two-hour workshop. So, cool. Bart, you might want to come down.
You know, I'm thinking October 5th.
Saturday, October 5th. Yeah.
If there's a way that I can go from Las Vegas to San Diego, back to Las Vegas in time for sound check, I'm in. Dude, when you said 5th, I was like, oh, crap, we're playing in Vegas. Damn it. Anyway, Chip, what do you got going on that's good, buddy?
Man, you know what? I got something that's going on that's good. My good friend of mine, Larry, who I worked with before years ago, has just celebrated 4 years of sobriety in a program, and he's doing really great, and that's my good thing. I'm just so happy for Larry, and he turned his life around, and he's doing great stuff, and he's playing bass in my progressive rock band. And it's going great. It's really going great. So I'm super proud of him, and that's my good thing. How about you, Fred?
That's great.
I have a lot of things to be thankful for, but I would say my number one good thing at the moment is coming up this Saturday, the 21st of September. It'll be my 28th anniversary with me and the producer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo.
And no.
28 awesome. Years. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's 28 awesome. Years and four kids later and, you know, operating a recording studio and, you know, we're both full-time musicians and yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That is killer.
Pretty incredible.
Man. That's incredible. Congratulations, buddy. That's
although
so cool.
I'm missing a coffee.
Yeah. Uh-oh. You know what? Before we got on, everybody, I was like, we were talking about stuff, and Fred was like, you know, I'm supposed to have a vanilla latte right now. And it was kind of like that. It was kind of.
Can you hear the empty spaces?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, the late latte.
Yeah. Well, very late latte.
Late latte. I've heard of a vanilla latte, but never a late latte. That's pretty. That's different.
I think I'm gonna steal that, Chip. I'm gonna keep that.
Late latte. Late latte.
Yeah.
Good composers borrow. Great composers steal.
Exactly.
Hey, so what I wanted to throw out there as far as a good thing for me is I've been with Gretsch Drums since 2007. And Gretsch Drums is now an official sponsor of Drummers Education Connection. We are so excited about that. And this entails a lot of things. It was a really nice thing to have happen. It took a little bit of work. And my buddy Andrew Shreve is like, yeah, we're all in. Gretsch is behind you guys. So we're really excited about that. We're going to have some amazing giveaways during Deck Day from Gretsch. I can already kind of put that out there. And we're going to have an amazing giveaway for the Deck the Hall show during December. So you guys want to be ready for that. So we're really, really, really excited about that. Honored to have Gretsch on board. And then my last good thing is my buddy Fred Rock Fisher up in Idaho, while he's just been laying around doing nothing because he hurt his knee. His wife Mary, God bless her, she sent me some vocal tracks for a song for my side project The Ruins, and man, she so knocked it out of the park. So I want to she did some backing vocals on this song. The song's not going to come out to the first part of next year, but I want to recognize her and first of all say thank you to her for that. And And what an amazing job she did. So if anybody out there is cutting some songs and they need some backup vocals or some lead vocals, hit up Fred, get in touch with Mary. She can do the job. My God, it's amazing. And I can't wait for everybody to hear it. A song called Shine On Me. So that's my other good thing that I'm really
just don't ask
about.
For a vanilla latte.
Don't nope. ask her for a vanilla latte. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. For last day.
Vanilla lost day.
Yeah.
And Bart, you mentioned Deck Day.
Deck Day is
is April 26th.
April
26th.
2025. Where?
At Aquarian Drumheads in Orange, California.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah.
So
I'm going to go to that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to have a great time at Deck Day. So anyway, Drummers Education Connection, we try to talk a little bit about everything. We have interviews with amazing drummers. We have Nick Week, we got a great drummer coming on. We'll talk about that later. We have so many great things that we try to do here on Deck for the drumming community. One of the things that happens in everybody's life, I don't care who you are, you know, we all have setbacks. We all have things that happen that, you know, kind of take the wind out of our sails or, you know, put us on the sidelines for a little bit. And it can be really hard to overcome certain setbacks because of not only physical pain, but mental and emotional damage as well. And this comes in many forms. A few weeks ago, if you guys haven't followed this on Facebook or seen it on Facebook, I've called my friend Fred, just like I did the other day, to say, hey, you know, Jeremy's not going to be here. Would you like to co-host the show? And he answers the phone. I'm like, dude, what's going on? Anyway, long story short, the poor guy had just broken his leg. And so I'm going to turn it over to him. And I want to have him tell the story. And right before I do that, I want to say what an inspiration Fred has been to this topic, to like overcoming this huge obstacle. He's a drummer and he broke his leg. That sucks, even if you're not a drummer, but you're a drummer and you broke your leg. Fred, tell us the story and tell us what happened, would you?
Okay. So I was in Indianapolis, Indiana for the drum corps finals. If you don't know what drum corps is, that's the pro level marching band competitions. And so my number three son was with the battalion drum and bugle corps out of Salt Lake City playing the tuba. My oldest son, Christian, aged out of that corps playing snare for 4 years. So we're drum corps parents. So in Indianapolis, I was with my youngest son, Jude, who was 11. We traveled on his birthday to go to the finals, having a great time, you know, my little travel buddy. Just having a great time. Went to the competition on Thursday. Battalion scored high enough that they advanced to the next round of competition on Friday, which we were noticing the scores throughout the season kept going higher and higher. And so we went to pre-purchase our tickets for the competition at Lucas Oil Stadium. We felt pretty confident. Let's go ahead and buy tickets for Friday as well, because we'll be able to see them perform again. And that was the case. And we knew that their scoring would put them either starting the show on Friday or somewhere near the beginning. And so we bought plane tickets to come home Friday evening. So after my son Ian was done performing and they put all their stuff away, we had lunch around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 4 o'clock that afternoon, me and Jude got on one of those rent a scooters, like we had been on all week. And normally where I would cross the street, I didn't, because the light was red and I figured, well, we'll just go down to the next intersection. Well, that ended up being a mistake. So going along, and there was a sudden 12 inch drop in the sidewalk. So the sidewalk's going like this, drops 12 inches and it continues. And you can't see that. So right when I was on top of that, it was too late and we crashed, and I was kind of over the top of him facing down, and I went to push myself up and out of the way, and it felt like my leg was missing.
Oh.
I couldn't feel my right leg, but I was able to get onto my back, and you know, you're doing the self evaluation. You're like, I can feel my fingers. Can I wiggle my toes? I could see my leg. I could feel my toes wiggling. I'm like, okay. No head injuries. Jude scraped up his elbows and his knees pretty bad, but as far as I could tell, he was okay. And, you know, he's obviously upset and crying and scared, and as was I. Yeah. But I think I was more in shock. And I looked right at Jude and I said, hey, I think that you're good. I know that you're hurt, but I think you're okay. I'm pretty sure my leg is broken and I'm going to need your help. And Jude just kind of flipped a switch and went into help dad mode, which is pretty awesome for a kid that just turned 11.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And, so I was, even though I was hurt, I was really encouraging him to step up. And I didn't know what street I was on. I'm not familiar. I just knew where our hotel was, you know? So people that were driving by were stopping to see if we were okay. And I was on the phone with 911, and Jude was relaying information from the people that were stopping to me to give, so that the ambulance could come to the right location and get me. So that was pretty cool that he was able to do that. And another stranger coming by, he had them take my phone and in the rental on the scooter. So I wasn't paying for hours of a scooter rental, you know, yeah. Things like that. I tried calling Mary. She was still at the stadium. She was traveling separately. So she left early and was volunteering with the drum corps. So she was staying with them. And I called her. She didn't answer. So I texted her and I said, hey, Jude and I were in an accident on the way back to the hotel. I'm pretty sure my leg is broken. This isn't a joke. And so she grabbed a rental scooter and came and found me just in time for the ambulance to come get me and take me to the hospital. And of course, you know, at that time we're dealing with like, all right, we're supposed to be leaving on a plane now in 2 hours. That's not going to happen. We didn't know how bad this break was. We didn't know a lot of details. I was in an extraordinary amount of pain. I've never experienced pain like that ever in my entire life. I know when the paramedics came to get me, they had to get me onto a tarp and lift me up onto their stretcher. And I had my legs crossed over like this, my right ankle over my left. And in order to load me on the stretcher, they had to move my leg off of my other leg. And when that happened, my muscles in my legs spasmed and pulled my knee up towards my chest. And I just screamed in bloody murder. I was dying. It hurt so bad. It's hard to describe that pain, but essentially what happened is I took that full brunt of that crash to my right leg. The femur smashed into my tibia, which is your shin bone, and it broke a big piece off, and it shoved that tibia 3 inches to the inside of my leg. Ouch. So there was a big bulge on my leg where the bone was like ready to come out of my skin. And it was, as you imagine, it was pretty awful. So I had to have an emergency surgery the following morning where they put 2 pins in that shin bone down by my ankle. They put 2 pins up really high on my hip and a metal bar connecting that so that they could realign the bones and kind of reset everything where it belongs. And then I had a second surgery that Tuesday morning where they put plates in on both sides of that bone and 13 screws to put me back together. A heck of a deal. And of course, you know, Mary's dealing with air flights, canceling those, trying to take care of that, which you can't just get somebody on the phone anymore. You know, it's a bunch of automated garbage. So 5.5 hours later, she thought she had that put together. Turns out it wasn't. That's a whole nother deal of frustration. When I was in the hospital, that's about the time I think, Bart, that you called and said, "What's going on?"
What's up, dude?
Yeah. What's up, man? How come you're not practicing right now?
Yeah. What's going on?
So I had an extended stay at Eskenazi Hospital in Indianapolis. They took phenomenal care of me. Everybody that was involved with putting me back together and taking care of me, they were just top notch. I don't think I could have asked for better care when I was in the hospital. I was trying so hard to be a good patient too, you know, saying thank you and just being really grateful. So attitude and gratitude.
Right.
So that's the story. What happened?
Well, first of all, let me interject, dude. I'm hearing Rick and me, and we're over here moaning and groaning, and I am so sorry you went through that, dude. I've heard the story from you,
right?
And I'm still like, oh, ow! I mean, that is so awful, and I'm really sorry you went through that. That's all I got. So anyway, go ahead, continue on.
Well, so I was in such a drug-induced state of mind because of all the painkillers and stuff. So I remembering exactly what happened and when is a little foggy. Although I know that I talked to you, Bart, and then Chip had called me. I don't know if you talked to Chip or Chip saw, but both of you guys had called me, which was freaking awesome to hear your voice and get on the phone with you. But Bart, you started that GoFundMe campaign, which was awesome. So thank you again for that, to have that cushion, because the bills are coming, you know. Yeah. And like you said in your post, it's like, we're guys making a living holding these.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I wouldn't have it any other way. But the other thing was what you offered, Bart, when I went through that, is that you said, hey, whatever students you need me to take care of over the next little bit of time, send them my number and I'll take care of them, which was awesome. So thank you again for that. And the students that did have lessons with you, they're like, oh, yeah, it was great getting on Zoom with Bart Robley and talking and doing something a little out of the ordinary, you know. So it's really
I appreciate you saying those kind words, but that's not why I did it. You know, I did it just to be like, dude, whatever I can do to help you. I mean, that's why I did it, and I'm glad that it's all worked out.
Well, it's a great example of when you find yourself in a situation where you need help, but you're not quite sure in what way that people around you can go, hey, you need help in this area, and I'm here to help just because we're friends, you know, and nothing beyond that, which was awesome.
I think that we always, you know, as to interject, I think that, you know, we always talk about how great the drumming community is and that we're all there for each other. And that's why we do the deck show. You know, we do the deck show to help. But we started the deck show because of COVID, and Chip called me and, hey, she got your vanilla latte. Look at
that. She snuck in. Found my latte.
I need one. I think that it was just that point where it was like, hey, you know, we're doing this thing, and we've always said that we started DECK to help drummers. And so let's help a drummer, let's help our friend. And that's why I did it. And I'm glad that I was able to help. So go ahead, carry on.
Yeah. Well, one really cool thing is that Chip called me and prayed with me on the phone, which was, I'm almost thinking about it.
Hey, you know what? Chip prayed with me on the phone, and I tell you what, that right there is a sign of not only a good man but a good friend. Chip's been there for me for some really dark times in my life, and not only has he prayed for me, but there's been a couple of times where he turned me around and kicked me right square in the butt when I needed it.
No, but it was very touching of Chip to do that. So thank you, Chip. That was awesome. And I've talked to Chip a lot of times, you know, over the last few weeks, and just it's encouraging to get on the phone with your friends and say, hey, you got this, man. So yeah, it was really
Fred. So how I would imagine you have a lot of worry and fear and anger, uncertainty, just all of this. So
yeah, definitely.
How did you get through? Do you have, because you know, that's just it's unfair, it's just not, you know, come on, like, you know, that wasn't supposed to happen. So how did, obviously a lot of, you know, like this bond and friendship and your prayer helped out, but any other advice for people on how you move forward?
I don't know if it's advice necessarily. I can just tell you how the process is working for me at the moment. Uh-huh. Cause giving advice once I'm past all of this might be easier to zero in on those things. But all those things that you said, Rick, are true. The fear, the anger, anxiety, all of that stuff has had a huge role. Aside from the pain of all of this, there's trauma revolved around that. There's a lot of emotional trauma that I was not prepared to experience or participate in. I think part of it was the drugs they put you on kind of mess with your head a little bit, even though that they're helping manage the pain. Mm-hmm. So I was having like super bizarre dreams in the moments that I did sleep. Things that didn't make sense, a lot of doubt, a lot of worry. I do have an insurance. I'm not sure how much of all that's going to cover. So there's a lot of huge financial concern and worry that's attached to that.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to resolve itself, so to speak. I found it at times where I felt like I could easily see myself slipping into a dark hole.
Yeah.
And trying not to do that. I know I've talked to all you guys individually on the phone and shared some of this stuff, and I don't remember who I told what, but there was a time my mind remembers being on the phone with somebody. Mary says I was talking to her. I don't remember. So the way I remember it is I was on the phone with somebody and I was talking in a very weak manner, like, you know, just talking like this, quiet and weak and frail. That's how I was talking. And when I was done, whoever I was talking to, when that was over, Mary said, I know that you're hurt and all of that, but like your mental attitude towards it, like try to change how you're speaking to people, like try the best you can to talk in my normal tone, in my normal personality. And she thought that would be really great for the, yeah, for the healing process mentally and physically. And so that really resonated with me when she told me that, was to not talk in that frail voice, which I didn't even realize I was doing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I remember the day I, like, it must have been right after you had the surgery. It was the weirdest thing because I called you and left you a voicemail asking you if you wanted to be on the show.
Yes.
And you didn't pick up, and then you called me back. And I'm like, hey, Fred, what's going on? And I could tell right away something was wrong. And you said to me, you go, dude, I just had surgery. I broke my leg and they pulled the tube out of my throat. And so I'm calling you to let you know I can't do deck. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you calling me at all? You know, why are you even calling me, buddy? I mean, to me, the reason I even say that was because you brought it up. But I think back to the helping other drummers, when you go through you went through this traumatic event.
Yeah.
And like you said, maybe you were, you know, induced with some drugs and you weren't thinking clearly because you had just had surgery. They just pulled the tube out of your throat. But you're worried about a drum show. And I think that having, and again, I'm interjecting something that's a little bit bigger here, but having something as big in your life as drumming and drum students and a band and gigs and all the things that we do, it's so much bigger than you that you had this giant thing to hold on to. And it's amazing that you had the network of friends around you. It's amazing that you have Mary that's going, hey, look, I know you're hurting. I know you're not doing well, but let's kick it up a notch so you don't slip into like a pity party. And if that's probably the wrong way to say that, but so I don't mean that disrespectful, but
I think that's pretty accurate.
So go ahead. Sorry.
I'm a person that I try to stay true to my word. So if I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I'm going to do that thing. And I think I've always been that way, you know, and I have a student of mine who is a shop supervisor or shop mechanic manager. There's a better name for it. I can't think of what it is, but he works for a huge auto dealer, like a big dealership. He told me like maybe a year ago that with communication, they have to return every single phone call or every single email within an hour. Like if somebody leaves them a voicemail or an email, if they don't respond to this person within an hour, then they're in trouble with their job. That's how important the communication is with them. And for whatever reason, when he told me that, I thought, I'm going to try my hardest to be exactly the same way, to respond to people in a very timely manner, not to let things hang out there for days or weeks or a month or whatever. Regardless of how busy I am, I'm going to get back to people. And so I've just had that kind of way of thinking going for probably about a year now. And so when Bart, I saw that you called and you were inquiring if I was available, I was like, I have to call Bart back. I wasn't like, okay, well, me laying in this hospital room isn't preventing me from making a phone call, you know? So why not call Bart? Why not? I'm staring at the ceiling, looking at the sign that says call, don't fall. So it kind of had a double meaning, right?
Yeah.
So
I already fell.
So I'm going to call. I'm going to call Bart, and I'm going to say, hey, thank you, but no thanks. You know, yeah. at least you wouldn't think, man, why is this guy not calling me back? This isn't like him to not return my call, you know? So that's what I was thinking about.
It's you're like the classic, you know, little league or pro football or midget football or whatever they call it, where the kid falls down. It's like, get up, kid, and get right back to it. That seems like what you've done. Like you love your drumming. You've built this community and family. And you know, I called you up. I needed some advice on some marching drum heads because you are like the authority of drum corps and marching. And we were talking about some Aquarian heads for marching bass drums and how they project. And man, you were there for me. Like you were like, boom, right on it, you know? And it was just such a fun conversation. And I know you're going through this, but you're already back to teaching.
I am
incredible.
So the title of the show is Overcoming Setbacks, right?
Yeah.
So like I said a few minutes ago, like I could see how myself or somebody else experiencing could slip into this pit of despair. And like you said, Bart, like a pity party, and things like that. And I think it was you that I was talking to. It was like, you know, we're a community of drummers, and like this show is by and large to help drummers. So that goes way beyond holding a pair of sticks and playing drums and equipment choices and things of that nature. It's like, what are we doing as human beings for one another? You know? Yeah. So I started thinking about, and with Mary's help too, because she's so a part of all of this, is stop focusing on what I can't do and figuring out what I can do. Well, what can I do? Worst case scenario is I have this computer with this camera and I get on Zoom with my students and at least have a conversation with them. You know, I'm capable of doing that. I can surf the couch and turn on the computer, you know? But one of my former students, when I got back into town, was available to sub teach for me. So he was keeping most of my students going through that. And then I started feeling well enough I could come out here for a couple hours. And the time I couldn't be here, my sub was here to take over for me. And then not last week, but the week before, I taught everybody on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. However, in conjunction with that, I hadn't slept for 3 days. I was just as awake as I am right now.
Wow.
My body would not go to sleep. And I was getting really frustrated, of course, and in pain. And Thursday, I was going to start teaching at 3 till 9. At 2 o'clock, I went in to go use the bathroom, and I was really just besides myself because I had so exhausted. I came out of the bathroom and Mary said, are you doing okay? And I had a complete emotional meltdown. Just sobbing. I had hit the wall, you know? So
yeah,
on the surface, it might look like everything's going great. And for the most part it is, but I do have my moments where it's like, oh, I just ran into the wall and just a complete shutdown. And so I think that she called my doctor and said, what can we do? And so she gave me a couple Benadryl pills. And within 20 minutes or so of that, I fell asleep for about 3 hours. Woke up, got back to the couch, back to icing my knee, had dinner, but I would sit and then I'd move and then I'd move no longer than a couple seconds of any position. I felt like I wanted to crawl out of my skin. It was like, I had just on the verge of freaking out, you know? And I said, I want something hot to drink, but not coffee, of course. And I said, do we have any kind of tea or something that I could have? So she found a tea called Sleep Well that has melatonin in it. and made it really, really hot. And in between sipping it, I was kind of on my back and I would put that mug on my chest, and it, that heat was really, really relaxing. And I drank that tea, and within about a half hour, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I went back to bed and I slept for 10 hours.
There you go.
Gone. Yeah. Yeah. So, I felt well enough the next day that we got all cleaned up and went out to breakfast on Friday morning, did some other errands throughout the weekend, feeling pretty good. It felt good to get out of the house. And every night since then, I've been drinking that tea, been having much better nights. And so last week I taught my full schedule, which was awesome, and got to finally saw all my students. And it was almost like a little reunion, so to speak, of getting everybody back and just going from there. So I don't know what else to tell you other than that. It's, well, it's one day at a time. The other thing that I'll tell you is when this first happened, they said it would be 3 months before I could even try to start walking. And I had some opportunities that were coming up. So like Rick was saying, like disappointment and frustration and things that looked like they were going to happen, that's been taken away.
Right.
One was drumming for a country artist out of Nashville named James Carruthers, who's been opening up for Alan Jackson, needed a rhythm section. And a friend of mine was getting me on that gig. Well, I can't do those shows now. The other was I was going to go spend the last week of October drum teching for Lou Graham's drummer on some rock cruise thing. Couldn't do that. So yeah, those are things that I was like, oh man. But the important thing is that my name has been coming up in conversations with those kind of people more and more often. I think that's going to, that will return, but until that I'm healed, I'm not really pursuing that necessarily.
Yeah. What I think is fantastic, actually, is that you had that emotional breakdown and you let the tears out.
Yeah.
And it's so healthy to be able to do that. We have all this emotion bottled up inside of us, and crying is how to release it. It's so often people think, uh-oh, it's not good that the person is crying. And when I hear someone's crying, I'm always like, good, you're letting it out. You know, we need to purge all of that emotion. So I think that's a great sign and very healthy. And so, you know, let it rip.
Well, I think sometimes we think of ourselves as men and not crying.
Right.
Like maybe that's exactly a sign of weakness, yeah, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't believe it's true. I think everything you said, Rick, is correct. It's purging that out of our system. You know, I've spent a lot of this year crying because my mom passed away the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I've drawn closer to my dad and really being involved with him. And, you know, he and I share tears a lot because, you know, my dad's hurting emotionally, of course, and lonely. But when I got back in town, I was like, I got to see my dad. I was like, Dad, you got to come over. So that was really great. But, yeah, Rick, like once I had that complete meltdown, that was the last time that had happened. But leading up to that, I'd have little moments where I told Mary, I said, I think I'm low on testosterone. I'd see a commercial for cat food and these little cute kittens would be running around.
I do that every time I see a cat commercial. I bawl like a baby. You put a puppy in there, dude, or I blubber up like you can't believe.
Well, thankfully Sarah McLachlan didn't come on, you know, with the adopt a pet thing or something. I probably would have adopted 20.
That is the worst commercial ever. That is the worst commercial in the world. I hate that commercial.
I think we all in our own life experiences and those around us that we've seen. And it's easy to say this, but everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And, but somehow, almost always, there seems to be this silver lining, like something good came out of this and that. And, right, and it might not be discovered or noticed for years. And, but it almost always works out that way. So I think that's where faith and letting go and just moving forward and just really all just apply all that stuff and then having friends.
I couldn't agree with you more, Rick. And to take maybe going a little bit different direction, we'll circle back around though, Fred. I think that I know when DEC started, right? It was it was started because of COVID. So the entire globe was in this dark place.
Yeah.
And then I was, I was going through some stuff in my personal life that was so deep and dark, and I was in such a depression, and the emotional stuff that was going on with me was so heavy. And this, you know, when Chip called me, I was like, I'm in. Whatever you want to do, dude, I'm in. And it was like this lifeline that was pulling me out of a hole. And I know that sounds really corny, but it's true. It really was. So I think that drumming and the drumming community and just sitting down and hitting the darn things, you know, just makes me feel so good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that being said, Fred, you and I had a conversation yesterday or day before. I'm like, dude, I just got to play my drums. And I'm like, I know, bro. I hear you. I hear you. And I gave you that suggestion to go grab the cookbook and try doing it with your left foot, you know, and I'm, you know, just give it a shot.
Yeah.
It's going to suck, but you can do it. And you kind of, oh, well, let's rethink this. Kind of like, I don't want to compare the two, but like when Mary said, don't talk, you know, this way, talk this way, yeah. Think outside of the box. Well, maybe I can strengthen my weaker side by playing with my left foot. Have you found that just being a drummer over and above everything that you said, just you by yourself with your drum set or you by yourself with a practice pad or a snare drum, has that helped pull you out of this thing? Has it been something that you're just like, oh, I need that?
100%. So, you know, as soon as these are in my hand and I'm sitting here with the student, they're playing something. I have a practice pad normally sitting where the computer is at the moment, but maybe there's a rhythm or something and I'll start playing that rhythm on the pad or, you know, whatever it is. My mind is so focused on the drum part of it. I forgot about my leg for these moments. It's like, I forgot I was in pain. I forgot that I have this injury, you know, that went away, which was amazing. And it was just all about drums. It was all about my student. It was all about how they're improving and what they're understanding.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if escape is the right word, but I would have these moments. And as I've been out here teaching, that moment seems to last longer and longer and longer. Cool. I will say at the end of the day of teaching, I'm like, I'm spent.
Yeah.
I'm cooked. I'm ready to be done. But when I'm out here and I'm talking with my students and visiting with them and, you know, and finding out what's going on in their lives and what they're working on, you know, I've got adults that take lessons. I got adults that play drums in local bands. I've got kids that are working on marching band stuff right now or jazz band stuff and all the things that go along with that. It's just like, oh, I forgot I was broken. Which is great. Awesome.
You know, Fred, do you think you escaped the moment or maybe you were being really present in the moment?
Ah,
that is super great. I think being present in the moment. I think being present in the moment let me escape from the other thoughts that were in my head. Like,
nice.
You know, this being connected to my knee constantly, instead of this being connected to the student or the drum pad or, you know, whatever we're focusing on. And, you know, and all my students have notebooks and I, you know, give them an assignment throughout the week. And sometimes I'm charting different rhythms or whatever. And so my brain is focused on writing those rhythms out, you know, and neat so that they can, they can make sense of what's happening. And so Chip, I think 100% being present in the moment, I think that's probably the top thing.
Right. Sure. Right now I'm listening to an audio book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, is all about being in the moment and being in the present and not living in the past and worrying about the past or missing the past or projecting in the future the problems. It's just being in the moment right now, being very, very present. Like when we're playing our drums.
Yep.
We're always in the moment. We're in that Zen moment, you know?
Yeah, like that
groove.
Like the Japanese term satori. It's satori. Awakening, comprehension, awareness of the moment that you're in, to reach out and touch the table or eat some food, and all of a sudden you're back into the present moment. You know what I mean? With drumming, yes. that's one of the best things drumming does for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good name for a band.
Satori.
That's a great idea, Rick.
But you know,
let's start a drumming band called Satori. We'll be a drumming group. Why not?
Yeah.
That would be, you know what? I have an idea. We're going to talk about this off the air when we hang up.
All right.
Rick, Rick, if you would also, if you would send me a link to that book, I would love that.
Oh, I will. Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Same. If you could send it to me too, Rick, that would be awesome.
All right.
I think that, self-reflection goes a long way. You know, I have a couple years ago, I came out with an album called Scavenger. It was my first, like, my project, my solo thing, with a dear friend of mine, and it's turned into this thing that Mary just sang on Shine on Me, and it's my side project to put my music out there. And in one of the songs, song called Wax On, Wax Off, I'll find a link for it and put it, or Chip, if you could find a link for it. Yeah. It's Wax On, Wax Off by The Ruins, and put a link in the show. That would be really cool. There's a line in there. It says self-reflection goes a long way. And one of the things that I've been doing personally for the last number of years is really what makes me, me, what makes me tick, right? Mm-hmm. And everything leads back to the drums, of course. But when you go through a traumatic event like this, what lifts you out of those things? And I think that, Chip, your question was so poignant, and Fred, your answer was so great that, yeah, you have to be here in the moment. So even though, and also, I mean, everything, Rick, what you said, you know, when something happens and it sucks, it's hard to sit there and go, well, this happened for a reason, you know, but hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah.
And you don't know none of us know, you know, what's going to be down the road. This could be such a blessing in disguise for you. You know, you don't know what it is. How is having a broken knee going to help my drumming career? Well, I bet you dollars to donuts 5 years from now, you're going to go, you know, if I never would have broken my knee, this wouldn't have happened, you know?
Well, not only that, but if just to get away from myself, like, how does breaking my leg benefit other people? So
there you go.
The story attached to that or not that I'm trying to shine light on myself necessarily, but, you know, some people get inspired by these kind of stories, and
it's very inspirational. Maybe, I gotta say that the way you're handling this, I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, it's okay.
I apologize, but the way you're handling this, Fred, is so inspirational. It's huge. It's amazing. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, and Matt Starr called me like a week and a half ago and said almost word for word what you just did, Bart, is, you know, I owe a lot of my present drumming career success through Matt's friendship and his coaching, which I got on the ground floor of all of that. So when he started his thing like 10 years ago or something. That's when I first met up with him. And that just kind of sent me on a path. So when Matt saw that I was going through this, he thought that the way I was handling it, just like you said, was inspiring. So he called not to talk about coaching, not to talk about shop, but just like genuinely concerned, but also to say, man, the way that you're handling this is pretty extraordinary.
That's a good dude right there.
Yeah, for sure. And it was great to talk to him because I hadn't talked to him on the phone for quite a while. But yeah, so not only like does this injury benefit me in some way down the road, but if somebody's looking from the outside and said, hey, here's a drummer that broke his leg and he remained positive throughout this whole thing, you know, I can play this gig even though I've got a cold.
You know, thank you.
There you go.
Rick and I were hanging out at NAMM, and we're at the aquarium booth and just shooting the breeze. And here comes Joe Bergamini from Sabian Cymbals. And Joe and Rick and I are friends, and I don't remember how it happened, but we had made our way to the front of the convention center. And so now the three of us are out there talking, and Joe had a terrible accident last year, and he broke his, and he's plays on Broadway. I mean, he's like all of us, he's out there working, teaching. He broke his wrist in a mountain biking accident and he couldn't even move his wrist. Now, much like I felt really stupid because much like you just told us about your leg break, he told us about his wrist break. And much like when you were talking about your leg break, I'm cringing and psyching, ow, and I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm like not hearing it, you know, because it's just the pain.
Right.
I could feel it. Well, same thing happened to Joe. And then I asked him a question that he had already answered, you know. He's like, I just told you that. And I'm like, sorry, dude. That was horrible. And that was, I remember when this happened to you, I think I told you at one point, I was like, well, dude, Joe broke his arm last year and he's back playing again. You know, you got this. So in a weird roundabout way, there's that thing, you know, Joe and you have that thing in common now that, yeah, man, I went through this really, and Joe had to have surgery on his wrist and the whole shebang. You guys went through it and you made it, and it is inspirational to people. And because you're not the first or the last drummer that's going to have an accident and injure themselves.
Right.
No.
So, you know, when it first happened, I'm laying in the hospital and they're telling me I have to have two surgeries. That kind of freaked me out. Not that I was scared of surgery, but I was like, twice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just trying to understand the process. And I didn't really understand how badly this break was either. And the surgeon told me, he's like, so the name of the break, if anybody wants to look it up, is a tibia plateau fracture. So if you look that up, you can see what that is.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. Well,
you sent me like a picture, the x-ray. I was like,
yeah. Yeah. So of those,
I made that sound.
Of those type of breaks, I have one of the worst ones you can get. So it was like, oh man, this is completely insane. But you know, when they're telling you, you know, you're not going to be able to put any weight on it or try to walk for 3 months. That was hard words to hear. And like, am I willing to accept that time frame? Like, can we shorten the curve somehow? I don't know. But, it seems so far away. So that puts me to the day would be November 5th. Today is 5 weeks post-op from the second surgery. So here I am at almost the halfway mark, which 5 weeks ago seems so far away. So I have a lot of road ahead of me, but I also have a decent road behind me as well. And so now that I can see progress and I can feel progress, every new day is like, I'm one day closer to being back to 100%.
Are you putting any weight on it yet? Are you walking at all?
No weight. I call it my stroller, but it's a walker. I have a walker to hop along behind.
See what you got to do is you got to like wrap it with something and put some flames and skulls on it.
Oh, there you go.
That would be so rock and roll, dude.
Custom.
But my side pipes.
I'm doing this motion a lot. And when I first started doing that, my arms were so taxed. Now I can get around the house. And when I'm done doing that, I'm getting a lot of upper body workout. But
can I show this picture? Can I already try to? Okay. Yeah. Let me see if I can, let me switch to the sky cam here. I'm going to go to the wrong one. I always do.
Nice.
Okay, so I don't know if this. Okay, so wait, hold on, wait for it to kind of go dark, and you'll see it here in just a second. Come on.
Well, those bones shouldn't be touching. That's a start.
Right. Well, in a second, you'll see it when it like goes to shut off.
Maybe hold it a little bit.
Look.
Yeah.
Oh,
break.
that is gnarly, man. Oh, yeah. God,
that's no fun.
No fun at all.
Yeah.
So let's say that somebody out there, and it's not even a leg break. Okay. Let's say somebody out there watching this is going through a dark time in their life. And Chip and I have talked about this on the show. We did a show on it, on overcoming alcohol and getting past that. And that was dark times for me and him both. Let's say that somebody's going through something like that, or they're going through a divorce, or they're going, what advice would you give them, Fred? What piece of advice, no matter what the emotional trauma is, if they're a drummer, a musician, what advice would you give them?
Well, at first it might seem silly to say, but all of this stuff is so temporary. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you're, like I said, when I was in the beginning of that, I already knew that in my head, that that's a temporary thing, that it's going to get better. There's resolution coming. The other part though is don't wait to seek help or advice from somebody that maybe has already been through it, that they can offer better words to you than what I can, just generally speaking here in the moment. But so for me, you know, there's not a lot of people within arm's reach who have had the same experience. So I was watching YouTube and seeing how the surgery went. And I started finding these people that were sharing their story on YouTube, which led me to finding a group on Facebook that's directly related to this type of break and the amount of people that have had similar breaks in their leg and sharing their story about the emotional side of this, their recovery time, that all the things that they're experiencing. So for me, that was a really good group of people to join, even though they're complete strangers. We can all empathize and sympathize with each other of what we're going through. We're all sharing this experience together. And, you know, there's people that are on the other side of that too, that say, you know, hey, this is going to get better. It sucks right now, but it's always going to get better. So that would be the first thing, is just letting them know that there's a better day coming. You just got to weather that storm. But in addition to that, reach out and grab a hold of people that can actually help you, that have been through that experience already. So I'm assuming, like you guys talking about alcohol, you know, finding support groups that deal with exactly what you experienced. You know, I've never experienced the alcohol problem myself, so I wouldn't be somebody to lean on necessarily with that, if that makes sense.
But no, Fred, that principle is the same thing that affects a lot of people when something, a setback happens or a failure occurs in your life. It's so easy to get wrapped up in yourself, mm-hmm. and to just only see your immediate world. But by reaching out and connecting with other people, you start to get more perspective about the situation, and you're starting to get your arms around the whole situation. So that's a great thing. That's a great piece of advice, is to get out of yourself and reach out. That's great advice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's true too, even if you're not experiencing a trauma. You know, when we're all trying to work as musicians and we're trying to get to that next level and to expand our career, the whole networking thing is getting around people who are already doing those things and, you know, not seeking advice from everybody that failed at it or think that it's impossible. It's just getting, I think just generally speaking, getting around people in your life that enrich your life is a good thing to do.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Like, you can be having the worst day in the world, but if you're in a room with Rick Stojack, there's no way to be in a bad mood around Rick. The guy, I can be having the crappiest day, and Rick will call me, and I can't pick up because I'm in a lesson or something's going wrong. Oh, I got to call Rick back. And just thinking about it, I'm like, I'm better. I'm better. My friend is Rick Stojack. My life is good. I have nothing. I'm missing nothing.
Now I'm back at you, Bart.
That's what happened when me and Rick are in the same room together. I think money's going to grow from trees. There's always going to be chocolate pie.
There will be rivers of vanilla lattes.
Wow.
There will be rivers of vanilla lattes. Flowing.
I'll pay you guys both later for saying all that.
Yeah. I take Venmo.
I sponsored you guys to say that.
Hey, so Fred, thanks for. Oh, Chip, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I have this a 4-step process that I was thinking about when it comes to overcoming setbacks, and I think that Fred is already doing all of the steps that I wrote down. Like, step one is acknowledge the setback and accept reality. You know, don't be in denial. Just admit what happened. And then step two would be to assess the situation and take inventory of yourself to find out what you have, what can you do, you know, versus what can't you do, what can you do. And then step three, reassess your goals and set them nice and high. And then step four would be focus on today. What's the next right action I can take to get me towards those goals? And it helps you overcome the setbacks.
100%. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Bravo.
And that will keep you from slipping into that hole, that dark, depressed state, you know, and feeling helpless. And because when that darkness comes in, then all of those thoughts that accompany darkness are going to come in with that.
Yeah. And being able to have somebody near you that you can actually open up to and say, hey, I feel like I'm getting in a hole over here. I feel alone. I feel hopeless. What do I do? And reaching out and talking to somebody is the fastest way to overcome that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you guys were right there with me when I needed you. Just boom, like that. It was awesome. You know, all of you guys checked in on me pretty quickly and frequently, and I really, really appreciate that. So having that nice network of friends and that support was tremendous.
That's
nice.
You know what? We're going over a little bit here, but before we talk about next week's show, I want to ask one more question if I could. And then we'll talk about next week's show and we'll get the heck out of here. Fred, it's, you know, we've talked about a lot of stuff today. Maybe you already answered this or Chip already answered it with what he just said, but what have you gained from this? What positive have you gained from this?
What positive have I gained from this? I'm not sure, like, big picture stuff necessarily. I'm just trying to take every day one day at a time. And then at the end of that day, I'm like, oh, I did that on my own today. I didn't need Mary's help to do that. So it's these tiny little small little victories that keep adding up to a larger and larger thing. I don't think, in my mind, at least at the moment, there's not some big, huge, major thing that's happened that I said, oh, I overcame whatever that thing is. You know, me being able to shower on my own, that, you know, I have a special shower seat that I can get in and out. I'm able to take care of myself as far as that goes, where before I was just kind of like a rag doll in there, like, oh, you gotta clean. You know, I could take care of myself. Like, those are nice little victories to have.
Yeah. Nice. Good, good. Well, that's great. Hey, so Rick, Fred, thank you so much for coming on the show today, talking about this. I think this is going to be inspirational for a lot of people, maybe not with a broken leg, but with something else that they're going through in life and how to get through it. And not just if you're a drummer. If you're a drummer, you have a support network around you. If you're going through a hard time as a drummer and you're seeing this video or hearing this podcast, RickStojackDrumStudio.com, ChipRitter.com, JeremySteinkeller.com, FredRockFisher.com, BartRobley.com. Reach out to one of us. We'll be more than happy to talk, help you out, and do whatever we can to help you with something, you know, whatever we can do. Rick, who do we got coming on next week, brother?
Zorro the drummer of Lenny Kravitz fame, The Commandments of R&B Drumming, and his amazing new book, Maria's Scarf. He's going to talk about all of that stuff and answer any of your questions. He's a true legend in drumming, and I'm really excited that we're going to get to talk with him next week.
I'm looking forward to that, too. Hey,
I'm looking forward to that.
Brother, Jeremy Steinkeller, who is off taking Evan to school, best of luck with that, buddy. We will see you guys next week on deck. Rick, you're going to play us out, but before you do nobody hang up after we're off the air, because I want to throw something at the three of you guys. So, Rick, go, baby. Play.